Great. As I said, our theme at the moment for the next couple of weeks is discerning God's vision. This comes about, it's good to do. It comes about, I have been vicar here now for 5 years. Some of you may feel that it's been felt like far longer than that, but it's been 5 years. And we had this sort of reflection time a little while ago. We also, when the Church of England administration machine rumbles round, our benefice will be legally affirmed and settled, and that'll be for the first time in many years. So if you've been around for many years, you will know that that's been going on for quite a while. So that's something to celebrate as well, that we have the shape of our parish, we have our clear sort of parish responsibilities. So we're sort of celebrating and taking an opportunity to draw breath after what's been going on the last few years, and to look ahead. To look at our mission, to celebrate and give thanks for all that we have done and what's gone before us, to sort of publicise and examine what we're up to. We may not all know all the bits that we get up to as a church, and to think and pray through together what we could be doing and being together. We want to love God. We want to love our neighbour. But how do we do that distinctively as St. Mary's White Wharf, and what might that look like? So for these two Sundays, we'll use these. They're not particularly special, but they're five marks of mission that various churches do use just to help kind of broaden our vision and to provide prompts. And we'll pray to discover God's will for our church and share our own passions and desires. I look forward to having that person come up to me and say, I've always wanted to do this. And maybe that's what we'll do for the next year or so. As I said, that they call them five T's because they like things that begin with the same letter. The first one is obvious, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. So that's speaking of Jesus as our Lord and Saviour to others. The second one is called teach, but it's really about kind of how we are together as church, discipleship maybe, to teach, baptise, nurture new believers, growing in our faith together as church. Third one is to tend, to respond to human need by loving service. So how can we show practical actions to love others? Number four is transform, so that's about issues within society of violence and injustice, how to speak up for the vulnerable and to pursue peace. And then fifthly is to treasure, it's very much about kind of the environment, about God's creation and humankind's place in it. So we'll think about things to do with that as well. And then, importantly, on Saturday, the 14th of October, so please really prioritise that morning. We'll have a morning together, sifting these ideas, finding the areas our particular church family should prioritise, and together kind of thinking, well, we can do that, therefore we can't do that. That may be an open door, therefore we need to close the door on that. And together as a church, discerning the way forward. It should be an exciting and engaging time. Please pray for it, and please come along ready to share. Scribble down your ideas, whatever ideas there are. We won't do all of them, so come along and be ready to share what your passions are. We pray it'll be a time when we become clearer about why we're doing certain things. There may be some things that we need to pause or stop, some things we could revisit that we've done before or take on, and we long for our loving Father God to guide us all as a united church family into the best ways to love others and to show God's love to the world. And maybe, just as you look at those five themes, something has started whirring away in your mind already. We need to use the gifts and resources that we have, and we need to see the mission field that's in front of us. I was thinking about this picture. I tried it out last week on some other people. I'm not sure they thought it was any good, but I'll try it again one more time. You've got to think about what resources you have and what you're looking at. So maybe we don't have a combine harvester. Maybe we don't have this big machine that can do lots of things. But maybe we need to pick strawberries. And if you use a combine harvester to pick strawberries, probably jam, but not much else, isn't it? So we've got to think about the gifts and resources we actually have. We can look around and see who we are. And then think of the harvest field in front of us. We have a parish, but what else do we have? We have particular communities in the area. We have particular things that we're involved in. I think there's a surprising large number of us involved in schools in various ways. What sort of harvest is in front of us, and what resources do we need? Last time we used these verses, 1 Peter 2, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And we thought about, we're a chosen people, we love God in worship, we respond to the God who first called us. And so that's a priority, isn't it, for our church? And the way we love him sort of shows who he is to others. We're a holy nation. There's something distinct about us, and we love each other as our church family in fellowship. So we have a real priority to each other and how we do that on a Sunday and beyond. And we're a royal priesthood, and priesthood is a picture of speaking that forward. We love our neighbour in witness. So there's lots there. Verse 24 and 25 is the gospel we believe. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might be changed. We might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. That's the good news that we share, isn't it? We were all like sheep going astray, but now we know who the good shepherd is. Can we show it, and can we speak of it to others? So that's a whistle-stop tour, and I'll probably use something very similar next week as well, so you don't have to store all of that in your heads. But that's the thought. I don't know if hopefully that's making sense so far of what we're doing. Yes, Dave? Sort of. Okay, great. Let's get into our first reading for today.
The first reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. And that can be found on Pew Bibles, page 1048. So Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and comes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has set 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And then, when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So, well-known parables. I guess we'll all have heard those many times. We may have taught those to others. I think they help us as we think about this first sort of mark of mission. We love God and our neighbour by telling, by proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And to some extent, when we think about vision and vision for the church, it's about seeing something clearly, isn't it? Already start to think we need to see ourselves clearly. And we need to see the harvest field clearly. And these parables, I think, help us see a couple of things clearly. Jesus wants us to see God clearly and see our friends and family clearly. So first of all, that friend you have that doesn't yet know Jesus, that family member who doesn't believe, we need to see them clearly as lost. As a lost sheep and a lost coin. And Jesus is talking about people who are lost. We need to see them clearly as lost. We need to believe. Without Jesus, without knowing their Father God, they are lost. They're away from where they belong. They're lost now, and they're in danger of being lost forever. That friend that you have that doesn't yet know Jesus, that family member who doesn't believe, we need to see them clearly. They need this news of Jesus. It's disastrous to be away from God's love. See them clearly as lost. And then see clearly your loving Father God. See clearly the Father's heart for the lost. So in those parables, you spot the shepherd. He travels far and wide. And you can tell these things and make it more and more, can't you? But he certainly has left things to go and find. The woman, she turns her house upside down. She's digging here, she's digging there. She's all over the place, searching for what is lost. And they're a picture of the Father. Jesus says, the Father's heart is for the lost. He searches for the lost. And then the joyful celebration when one who is lost is found. All heaven's party when I do this in assemblies and make them all go, yay! way! Because that's the excitement of it, isn't it? See the one who's lost, who's now found. When one sinner repents, turns around. If you were here last week, we thought about saying yuck to sin and yes to Jesus. I'm turning my back on living away from God because I can see it's rubbish. I'm saying yes to living for God. Yuck to sin, yes to Jesus. And then there's heavenly fireworks, the best, most exciting celebration ever. Huge joy from the loving God. Clearly see your friend is lost. Clearly see your loving Father God who has a heart for the lost. And he's our Father, and he makes us to be his people. So then we get this vision, this passion to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. It comes from growing that heart like the Father, a love for the lost. Well, what do we say when we're proclaiming the good news? There's lots to say about that, isn't there? We won't cover all of it, but two simple things this morning. In Acts 1, Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and we all have that now as a Christian, as we trust in Jesus. And you will be my witnesses. You just speak of what you know. Speak of what you know of who Jesus is and what he came to do. Witnesses, just called to say, this is what I know of Jesus. This is what I know of my Father God. Listen to this. And in John 20, verse 31, so towards the end of John's long gospel, he writes of Jesus performing many other things that he didn't manage to record in this gospel. But these are written, this gospel is written, put into your hands, that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. When we hear of Jesus, who he is, and what he came to do, we see that Jesus is the Christ, God's promised King, the Lord of all, who calls us to follow him. We see that he's the Son of God. He shows us God. He shows us God's character, God's purpose of peace and reconciliation, of rescue and love. When you're shown Jesus, who is the Christ and the Son of God, it is so that you may believe, trusting in Jesus, and then you will have life. Life in his name, life to the full, now knowing the God of love with you, and life forever. So we want to share this good news with others, what you know of Jesus. We love our God and we love our neighbours by sharing the vital good news of Jesus. We had a series back in spring 22 on sharing the gospel. We might want to repeat something similar like that. I found there was lots of good motivations, but also some real practical helps as well. So for instance, one that sticks in my head is that I don't have to try and explain the whole gospel every time I have a conversation with someone who doesn't yet know Jesus. That would make Badminton Club on a Tuesday evening exhausting, and I would soon get kicked out. But we can work at interesting questions. What do you believe about that? Where do you think you're going? Do you feel peaceful? And we'd seek to send them away with a stone in their shoe, that idea that they'll just go away thinking, oh, it's just something I need to continue to think about. That was one thing I found helpful. And we could do more on that if we feel like that would be helpful to all of us. Giving them something to think about, pointing them to Jesus the Christ. We do things in church services, and particularly special services. We have courses like Christianity Explored, and that's coming up, starting up on Monday in a few weeks' time from 2nd of October. If you've not done that before, I commend it to you because it's great to be confident on these courses. And it's always a wonderful time of refreshing. I've done this course so many times, and every time I'm refreshed and re-inspired about Jesus from Mark's gospel. But if you know someone who might come, 7 Monday evenings through the autumn, come to our warm vicarage for a welcome. They don't have to read the Bible, they don't have to pray, they don't even have to say anything. They could just listen to the conversations. But they can bring any questions, and it's often been a really good time of chatting around interesting topics. So things that we provide centrally, resources that equip us. But there needs to be, under this T, this first T telling, an emphasis on us being out there. I ran a mission week in a church previously, and I just kept asking these three questions to people. Who do you know? What might they come to, or how would you go out to them? And how would they hear about Jesus? Who do you know? Can you really examine where God has placed you in your workplace, in your family, in that community group, in that regular weekly hobby, whatever it is? We might be together as a church. We have a parish. We have two schools, and we seek to present Jesus to them. But you might have that friend, John or Jennifer. You might be one of their only contacts with a Christian. Who do you know? And then what might they come to? Would they come to a church service? Why? Why not? Do we need to do things differently? Do we need to occasionally put on different things? Would they come to an event or a social something, like the Harvest Supper coming up? Would they come to your house, a barbecue, a coffee time where you invite a vicar or another Christian friend to it? And then how will they hear about Jesus? Do they want to hear a talk, a presentation? Do they want to hear something like a topic? Do they want to have a debate? Is there a particular life situation? So those are some questions to get our juices coming. After this second talk this morning, we'll have a bit of time to turn and buzz. But for the moment, I'm going to turn in prayer, because the prayer for this Sunday is a great one, reminding us that we are as church bearing witness. So let me lead this prayer. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ, reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you, through him who is lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as we think about telling the gospel, we're going to have a reading.
This reading comes from Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9, which can be found on page 185 of your pew Bibles. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So that's from Deuteronomy, that's Moses speaking to God's people on the edge of the promised land, reminding them, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. There'll be partly as we witness to each other, we witness outward, we speak Jesus to those who don't know him. But actually, we're also called to speak Jesus to each other, to remind each other of these commandments, that life will go well, that we will know God's blessing as we seek to do what he wants. So secondly, we love God and our neighbour by teaching, baptising, by making disciples. This is really how we encourage and challenge each other as church together. Sometimes you call this discipleship, growing as followers of Jesus. So we're called to help one another discover more about God's love and God's call for our lives. We're called on to that journey of growing in our faith and helping others to do so, particularly those who are new believers. We also all have things that we can learn from one another, and we're all called to continue to learn. That disciple word is a learner word, a follower word, a listening to other people word. So I love this passage. It's kind of a series of practical things. Obviously, it was in the land. It was in a particular place. So we can think about what it might mean today. But if you've got that passage open, have a look. Moses says, these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Now, how is that going to happen? Well, he says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Talk about them always in all sorts of different situations. So, is that music that you listen to? Is it the podcast you have in the car or in your home? Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. These are visual things, aren't they? So is that kind of the poster or the picture you have on your wall that has that verse that means something to you? Or I've seen it on cushion covers, computer screen savers, our texts and our cards to each other. Are we reminding ourselves of God's goodness, of his commandments to us? What is it we spend time doing? Can we soak in God's words at those times? Since having kids, I've probably said this before, I've learned many more Bible verses because we listen to those songs that have Bible verses set to music. And so then it sets in your mind, but it's brilliant. They are sometimes a bit annoying, but it is brilliant to soak somehow into God's word. I knew someone else who just, was it one of the Suchets, wasn't it, who recorded the whole Bible. And he would just listen to it on the way to driving the car. And he wouldn't listen to every word, and sometimes there was a red light he might need to concentrate on more and more. But he was soaking in it, and then he could bring other verses to mind, and it really helped him. How can we do that? How can we help ourselves and help each other? Well, in church, various parts of the service, we talk about this sometimes, it's good to be reminded, we have a confession, because we all need to say sorry to God, but it might be, for you, confession that week is the most important bit. You've had a lousy week, you know you've just done that thing, and you need to hear again of God's forgiveness. Or we have a creed. Sometimes, usually we say it. Sometimes it's in a song, but it's stating our faith. And it's stating our faith together. This is brilliant because other people believe the same stuff that I believe. So that's why we have a creed in our service. We have songs. Those songs are sometimes songs sung to God. God, you're brilliant. Thank you for your faithfulness. They're sometimes songs that we sing to each other. This is my God. This is your God. This is what we believe about him, and I try and mix those up as well as the styles that people find helpful to do that. All sorts of parts. Then, of course, there's praying and Bible reading and sermon, hearing God's word and speaking words back to our God. How can we help that in church? You might have some ideas that you might want to write down. We've done kind of the question over coffee. We might come back to that sometimes. The vicar says, I have to ask you this, just to help us to keep thinking about the Bible passage we've been looking at. Do you want me to email you midweek and say, are you still thinking about this? You probably don't, but maybe that will help. Or a text or a WhatsApp group. A midweek service. Do you want to zoom in at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning for a quick time of prayer and a sort of midweek booster? What does that look like? And then out of church, at home, in your chats together when you meet up, following up with each other. And I know it goes on. I heard just this week of a new WhatsApp group supporting someone. It's brilliant when we're chatting and following up with each other and praying for each other, encouraging each other. We're impressing these commandments on each other, on our children. We're talking about them when we sit at home and when we walk along the road, when we lie down and when we get up. We have them around visually and when we're going and when we're coming. And can we do it more? So you might have ideas about that. On this particular mark of mission, what would help, what would encourage us to read more ourselves and to be with each other? Towards the end of Matthew's gospel, after Jesus' death and resurrection, he comes to his disciples and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. And this, it's to his 12, but it goes on and beyond. This is what God's church is called to. Go and make disciples. Not just kind of declare Jesus from a street corner and then let it drop and hope that's okay, but helping people to grow in their knowledge and love of God. And what does that mean in how I work? What does that mean in what I do with my money? What does that mean in how I bring up my children? What does that mean in honoring my parents? All of those things that we all have so much to learn and to grow in. It's the gospel of salvation, and it's the gospel for the rest of life. So, for instance, we do an interview slot. We've got another one coming up next week. So if there's anyone who would like to volunteer for that. And it's really a chance for a different voice, isn't it? This is what God has done in my life. This is what I'm giving thanks for. This is what I'm struggling with. We do that in church. How can we do that more? And it involves all of us. It involves every one of you sat there now. I preached last Sunday at St. Mary's in town in the evening. It was on the end of 1 Thessalonians, and I was reminded that we all take part. We all have various gifts that we can use to build up the church family, but particularly, we can all bring God's truth to bear on each other's lives as we get to know each other. We can think, oh, that particular passage, that particular story from the Bible, that's a bit like what you're talking about. Does that help? Or how God has spoken to us through our own ups and downs. We need to be ready to hear each other, and we need to be ready to speak to each other. We love God and our neighbour in the church by teaching each other, using our gifts and being built up as God's family. So I'm going to get you to turn to one or two people near you and maybe have a little sort of buzz about this, I think it's sometimes called. Maybe use those questions. What do we do as a church, or what have we done? Think about how we proclaim Jesus and how we build each other up. What opportunities do we have? Who are in our harvest field? Where are you? What would help you? Or what would help us together? What could we do more of? What could we do less of? If the combine harvester strawberry thing helps, then keep that in mind. We are who we are, and we have who we have in front of us. We're not called to go do this, this, and this. What can we do joyfully in God's strength? And then the dots. Do you remember the dots? These are going to come up every now and then. The red dots clustered together. That's who we are as church. That's great. That's warming each other. That's encouraging each other. That's being built up. But the rest of the week, we're scattered. The rest of the week, we're those red dots spread out among other grey dots. So what would equip us when we're together to help us in the rest of life? What could we do? You've got those sheets. They might prompt as well. So, for instance, I might have added one or two. Do you want to go under the telling one? Do you want to go door to door throughout the parish saying, do you know Jesus? Jesus loves you. That could be an option. We could discern together that's what we want to do. Do we want to run a holiday club? And I've put down some things that we have done in the past. Under teaching each other, there's some things that we kind of do. Do we want to do more kind of reading the Bible one-to-one? Are there specific discipleship helps that we could hope for? And I was thinking about that. Do we want a midweek prayer service? Just something maybe for half an hour on a Wednesday morning or whenever. Do you want an email follow-up or a prompt? What sorts of things? So let's buzz together. And then at the end of the service, there'll be a chance to scribble down your wisdom as we do this together. I'll just give you a couple of minutes before we come to the next thing. So please dare to talk to two or three people next to you about this.